ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 1, entitled The Activities of Maharaj Priyavrata, verse number 9. So generally, these are not actually verses, these are prose. So that's why there will be difficulty in singing. So we will adjust. So these are not really lines as such. So we will try to sing as far as we can. Tatra hava enam devarshir hamsayanena. Pitaram bhagavantam hiranyagarbham upalambhamanaha. Sahasaivodhaya harena saha pita putra bhyam avihidanchalir upataste. Okay, I'll make one difference. I'll try one more time. Make it a bit more better. Tatra hava enam devarshir hamsayanena. Pitaram bhagavantam hiranyagarbham. Upalambhamana sahasaivothaya harena. Saha pita putre bhyam avihitanjalar upataste. Try to be sync. Otherwise, not ready. I'll read a few more times. Try to be sync with everyone. Tatraha va enam devarshir hamsayanena. Pitaram bhagavandam hiranyagarbham. Upalambhamana sahasaivothayar hanena. Sahapito pita putra bhyam avhidanjalir upataste. Tatra hava enam devarshir hamsayanena. Pitaram bhagavandam hiranyagarbham. Upalambhamana sahasaivothaya hanena. Saha pita putra bhyam avhidanchalir upataste. Word to word translation, tatra, there, hava, certainly, enam, him, devarishihi, the great saint Narada, hamsayanena, by the swan carrier, pitaram, his father, bhagavantam, most powerful, hiranyagarbham, Lord Brahma, Ubala Bhamanaha, understanding, Sahasa Eva, immediately, Udhaya, having stood up, Arhanena, with paraphernalia for worship, Saha, accompanied, Pita Putra Bhyam, by Priyavrata and his father Swayambhuva Manu. Avahita Anjalihi, with respect and folded hands. Upatasthe, worshipped. Lord Brahma, the father of Narada Muni, is the supreme person within this universe. As soon as Narada saw the great swan, he could understand that Lord Brahma had arrived. Therefore, he immediately stood up along with Swayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata, whom Narada was instructing. Then they folded their hands and began to worship Lord Brahma with great respect. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. As stated in the previous verse, Lord Brahma was accompanied by other demigods, but his specific carrier was the great swan. Therefore, as soon as Narada Muni saw the swan, he could understand that his father, Lord Brahma, who is known as Hiranyagarbha, was arriving. Thus, he immediately stood up with Swayambhuva Manu and his son Priyavrata to receive Lord Brahma and offer him respect. Om Jnanatimirantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Patagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bhuter Mahadbhir Yayima Puro Vibhu Nurmaya Shete Yadamusha Purusha Bhunkte Gunan Shodasha Shodashatmaka Solankrishishta Bhagavan Vachamsime. Hare Krishna. This is pretty much the beginning of a canto, which is fifth canto. Here is the account of Maharaj Priyavrata is described. How Maharaj Priyavrata was engaged in tapasya, in austerities as a brahmachari for very long period in time. Few manantaras. This shows the capacity of sons of Brahma and his grandsons. Very powerful, they have longevity. They can go on for many manantaras. So not just thousands of years. We are talking about something else, probably millions of years. They have such longevity, they had such capacity. And that's why Priyavrata was performing devotion service on Gandhamadana Hill as a brahmachari for many manantaras. Now, there is a universal need to have a qualified king to rule over the world. So his father Swayambhuva Manu approached his oldest son to return to rule the world. Of course, as we can see from this verse and purport, he is directly under the instruction of Narada Muni, his spiritual master. Narada Muni is a spiritual master for great personalities throughout Bhagavatam. Just we saw in the previous canto, He's the spiritual master of Dhruva Maharaj. He's the spiritual master of Prajina Barhi. He's the spiritual master for Pracheta. So you can see account of many, many personalities who are being instructed by Narada Muni. Here, we can see the role of Narada Muni being the spiritual master of King Priyavrata as well. So Narada Muni was instructing Priyavrata, and all of a sudden, he saw a swan carrier coming from the sky. That will be a scene in itself. A swan carrier, not just a normal swan. Swan itself is rare. And this is a swan carrier carrying Lord Brahma, who is the Adi Kavi, who is the greatest personality within our universe. So he came along. Immediately, they followed the Vedic etiquette. They got up from their seats and they had paraphernalia to worship Lord Brahma. Indeed, Lord Brahma didn't turn up by himself. He had all his entourage following him, the herds of demigods. It will be mentioned, there are herds of demigods and of different planetary systems, as it is mentioned here. They are from the Siddhaloka, from the Gandharvaloka, from the Sathiloka, from the Charnaloka. They can all fly. They have mystic abilities. They all came along with Lord Brahma. So Brahma is being worshipped by all these great personalities of different planetary systems. So the whole assembly is arriving from the sky. So it's not just one person. This is a middle of nowhere, Gandhamadana Hill, middle of forest, hilly area, where Priyavrata is performing his brahmacharya. Suddenly, this whole great personalities are arriving. This is Vedic times. In Vedic times, there used to be interplanetary travel. Because even on the earth planets, the living entities, the human beings were very qualified. They could appropriately receive, recognize, adore demigods and other great personalities. So they didn't mind paying a visit to earthly planets. When there used to be sacrifices, Vedic yajnas, there is a yajna kund, which is pretty much like a football ground. And there are people in the gallery where they are watching what's happening in this yajna. So this happened primarily in the Treta Yuga. Yajna is the main process of worshipping Krishna in the age of Treta Yuga. So in Satyuga, primarily the process of worship is meditation. We can see Priyavrata, he's starting from Satyuga in Sammadhar Manvantara. Not even every Divya Yuga, if you pick, there is one Satyuga. So we are not talking about one Divya Yuga. We are not even talking about one Manvantara. Because we are talking about multiple Manvantaras which passed. And all these times, Priyavrata was performing austerity according to the Krita Yuga standards. Satyuga standards. And now, the whole Antaraj along with Brahma has arrived in front of Priyavrata and his spiritual master Narada Muni. And of course, we'll see Swayambhu Manu is also present. So all these great personalities, they begin to worship Lord Brahma. This is Vedic etiquette. Because according to Vedic etiquette, there are many standards to define one seniority. It's not one thing. For example, if you see here, one can say that Narada Muni is the greater personality. Narada Muni is a sannyasi. Narada Muni is a sannyasi. Because he's a traveling preacher. And he's generally more spiritually advanced than anyone. He's a pure devotee. However, he is ready to pay respects to Lord Brahma. Why? Because Lord Brahma is his father. And also he's Adikavi. He had personal interaction with the Supreme Lord. And also he got directly instructed by the Supreme Lord. So there are more factors involved in defining etiquettes. So one criteria for seniority is one's age. Let's start from basics. One's age is a factor to give respect. That's not the only factor. One factor is age, because one will get matured in terms of age. So we respect people if they have age, even among devotees. Age we consider. Second, when they got initiated, you know, first, second initiation, etc. When they got initiated, primarily first initiation, you know, to start with. When they got initiated. So that is a factor as well in defining seniority. Then there is another factor to define seniority. How knowledgeable one is, that is another factor to define seniority. So that is not just knowledge, that is knowledge with realization. So that could be equated as one's spiritual advancement. That is considered the ultimate factor. Then also, being an organization, we all belong to the organization, not just in this temple and the surroundings, but we all belong to the organization. That is, Brahma has already set up an organization. There is a universal affair, the universal institution is there to manage the entire universe. So there are positions according to the institution, according to the organization as well. So that is another factor to define seniority. So of these four factors that I mentioned, the highest is considered spiritual advancement. Realized knowledge, that is spiritual advancement. That is considered the highest. Otherwise, other factors are also taken into account. The managerial position, one's age, when they got initiated or when they started the spiritual progress, the spiritual age, and then ultimately, what is the spiritual advancement? That is the reason there was a huge assembly of sages in Naimisharanya, where Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken. And who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam? It was Shukadev Goswami. He was only 16 years old. Young boy. He was naked. And he was completely oblivious to material circumstances. Since he was the most realized in Krishna's pastimes, everyone else was ready to listen from him. He became the most qualified person to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. In terms of age, others were more seniors. In terms of position, others were more seniors. But in terms of spiritual advancement, he was the most senior. So that is even in terms of initiation, others were more senior. But Shukadev Goswami was chosen to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. However, there also there is an etiquette. That's why Vyasadev and Narada Muni didn't get up from their asana to receive Shukadev Goswami. Because Vyasadev is his father. And Narada Muni is his param guru. Vyasadev's guru is Narada Muni. So Shukadev Goswami's param guru is Narada Muni. Both of them didn't get up from their seat to pay respect to Shukadev Goswami. But everyone else, thousands and thousands of people, they were higher with other qualifications still. They got up and paid respects to Shukadev Goswami. At the same time, because of the realization of Shukadev Goswami, even his father and his param guru were ready to listen from Shukadev Goswami. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is this verse about Srimad Bhagavatam. Aham vedmi, shuko veti, vyaso veti na veti va. Bhaktiya bhagavatam grahyam, na buddhya na jathikaya. Krishna Kaviraj Goswami quotes this verse, Aham Vedmi, who is telling Aham? Lord Shiva is telling. Aham Vedmi, I know the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. He knows the meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam. As a Vaishnava, he's the greatest Vaishnava, Vaishnavanam, Yatha Shambhu. Aham Vedmi, Shuko Veti. Shukadeva Goswami, he knows the actual meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Vyaso Vetina Vetiva. He may know, he may not know. He may know, he may not know. Then Lord Shiva says, what's the principle on which we should understand Srimad Bhagavatam? That is, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. One need to understand Srimad Bhagavatam in the fire of devotional service. We had to perform devotional service and do devotional service and read Srimad Bhagavatam. The knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam will be revealed. We are not simply reading and reading and reading. No. We need to perform devotional service and study Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the knowledge will be revealed. Na buddhya na jatikaya. Not by unnecessarily intellectual exercise or analysis or simply reading too many commentaries. That's not the way to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, but by engaging in devotional service. So there the mention is given, Vyaso Vetina Vetiva. That is given because it is mentioned that Vyasadeva is acting as an instrument in bringing Srimad Bhagavatam. So the instrument may know or may not know. In that sense it is mentioned. It doesn't mean that he doesn't know. He is acting as a person who reveals the knowledge. So the Lord is acting through him to disseminate the knowledge. In that way, Lord Shiva is making this point. At the same time, Shukadeva Goswami understood, relished, and he reproduced in a way that is even more relishable than the original Srimad Bhagavatam. He has added taste to it because he has completely assimilated because of his spiritual status, being the Shuka, the parrot of Srimati Radharani, who has witnessed all Radha Krishna pastimes. So he has highest realization, and that's why he spoke. So that's why Lord Shiva said he knows the meaning, because he has realized. It's proven that he has realized, because he was present in the entire pastimes. He stayed back after witnessing and taking part in Radha Krishna pastimes in Vrindavan. That is the glory of Shukadev Goswami. So again, coming to the point of etiquette here, Narada Muni, Swayambhuva Manu and Priyavrata followed the etiquette in worshipping Lord Brahma. So this is a lesson we can take. We need to respect devotees according to their status, as I explained earlier. Can be age, can be position, it can be the time of initiation, or it can be their spiritual advancement or their realization. So it's a short purport, so I will not go any further from this. Today is a special day as the appearance day of Sachidananda Bhaktivinod Thakur Mahashay. Bhaktivinod Thakur ki jai. We'll read his pranali mantra, pranama, and then we move on. You can repeat after me. Namo Bhaktivinodaya Sachidananda Namine Gaurashakti Sarupaya Rupanugavarayate. I offer my respectful obeisances unto Sachidananda Bhaktivinod, who is transcendental energy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He is a strict follower of the Goswamis headed by Srila Rupa. It is very important to remember the glorious activities of great Vaishnavas, because by remembering their activities, we get inspiration and their blessings. So we will spend a few minutes from now describing the glorious activities of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Bhakti Vinod Thakur is considered the prominent preceptor acharya in that disciplic succession coming from Lord Chaitanya. He is considered the great visionary, and also he is described as the seventh Goswami. Bhaktivinoda Thakur excavated Lord Chaitanya's birthplace, and also he is the father of one of the most illustrious personality in the Gaudiya Vaishnava line, who is none other than Srila Prabhupada's Guru Maharaj Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. In addition, he left us with many great literatures, and also he exposed many pseudo-incarnations and upper sampradayas. So in essence, these are the contributions of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now we will get into a bit more details of the life of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. After the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya, there were six Goswamis to disseminate the teachings of Lord Chaitanya and to keep those teachings sacred and protected. After that, next layer of acharyas came about, such as Srinivasa Acharya, Shyamananda Pandit, Narottam Das Thakur, etc. Sooner or later, all these teachings got apparently corrupted. Mahaprabhu performed his pastimes and Ganga changed its course, and in that way the whole Mayapur Navadvip went inside water. No one knew the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya nor his pristine, pure teachings. So this was the situation in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. To add further, there were two kinds of personalities who were belittling the Sanatan Dharma and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. To start with, it was the time of British Raj, and Britishers undermined Vedic literature, and for that Lord Macaulay played a very important role. He damaged the fabric of Vedic culture, because the Britishers understood that only way we can capture India was by creating disrespect among the prominent personalities about Vedas. They tried all different means to crumble this ancient culture. However, they couldn't. They understood that the whole Vedic culture was steeped into Vedic teachings. So they had a very clear plan how to crumble this culture by creating lack of faith among the people in Vedic scriptures. So this was a planned attempt, and for that Macaulay played an important role. Lord Macaulay. We might have studied about Lord Macaulay in Indian history. No, I have studied. If you are from India, you might have studied about Lord Macaulay, many lords who ruled over India. So Macaulay, he made a statement that a single shelf of European literature was far greater than the entirety of Vedic literature. He further denigrated Vedic cosmology. It's just a laughing stock. He marginalized the pastimes of Lord Krishna and Lord Buddha. So they portrayed Krishna as just a sense enjoyer. So these kind of terminologies are coming back in the days from the time of Britishers. Even still now we can see remnants of that in India and around, portraying Krishna as just a forest love god who is just enjoying, just as an enjoyer. We can see the remnants still in Indian movies Bollywood, whatever, or literature. Similarly, he discouraged vernacular languages and he denigrated idol worship. He created this terminology that is idol worship. So this terminology makes a huge difference to the perception of a process. So the deity worship became idol worship. In other words, deity is nothing but an idol. Idol means no life, just a statue. In that way, they had the systematic plan to destroy the age-old Vedic tradition. Then what happened? The intellectuals of India, they got influenced by Britishers and they had their own perception of Vedic literature. They rejected Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. They rejected pastimes of the Lord. Indeed, they just held up Upanishadic teachings, because Upanishadic teachings are very cryptic and one can interrupt in any way they want. The interpretation was so easy, or rather misinterpretation was very easy, so they can present their own intellectualism based on Upanishads. So they gave up all the Puranas, Itihasas, etc. as just mythology. India, it is pronounced many times as mythology. You know, mythology. Myth, it's a myth. Myth means there is no reality to it. It's just myth. It's just fiction. It's fictitious, the whole story. In that way, Mahabharata, the great history of India, Ramayana, another epic story, and other Leelas, pastime, everything became just myths. And they upheld only Upanishads and they used it for speculation. That's why Raja Ram Mohan Roy, you might have studied in our Indian history, the social spiritual movement brought about by Raja Ram Mohan Roy, which is the Arya Samaj. So they never do deity worship. They don't accept deity worship. They do two things. One is studying Upanishads, and also they are okay, or they promote performing fire sacrifices, yajnas and homas. They do that. That's it. But strictly, no deity worship. They don't accept deity. Still, there is remnants of Arya Samaj in certain places. And I was speaking to a devotee whose family is from Arya Samaj, and they were completely against ISKCON. And they cannot accept worshipping the form of even Supreme Lord Krishna or any demigods. So such deep-rooted misunderstanding is still present because of such kind of intellectualization and apa sampradayas. So this is the climate in which Sachidananda Bhaktivinoda Thakur appeared. The Lord had to send a powerful personality to revive the bhakti movement, to bring forth the pure teachings of Krishna consciousness. So on September 2nd, 1838, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took birth and his name was Kedarnath Datta. And his family was very opulent, very aristocratic. He took birth in Biranagar and he was from a very wealthy family. Raja Krishnananda was his father. And they belonged to the sampradaya coming from Nityananda Prabhu, or they were great devotees of Nityananda Prabhu. And in that great tradition, Bhaktivinoda Thakur took birth. At the same time, his another family line was not at all devoted to Krishna. They were not at all interested in Krishna consciousness. So considering this, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known as Daityakular Prahlad. Daitya means Asura. In the family of Asuras, Prahlad. In the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was known as Daityakular Prahlad. In that way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur started his life as a very young boy. Even as a very young boy, Bhaktivinoda Thakur showed great talents. He was just a baby. His maid servant in the family was carrying him, you know, just carrying him in his hands and walking. That time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a young baby, just about to speak, composed a poem. So the poem was, Kakal Jingar Phul Baba Asate Nade Baso. O crow, call, flower of the Jinga squash, father comes, sit aside. But it was very poetic. He just sang. It was like a poem. So even as a young baby, he had this profound literary ability. Later, that abilities will be used in Lord Chaitanya's service. That becomes a history. Another interesting thing happened in the life of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had to see both realities of material world. One side, rich aristocratic birth, and later poverty. In 1849, when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was just 11 years old, his father passed away, and subsequently all the wealth were divided and some got plundered, and he was left with hardly anything, and he had to experience severe poverty. So at one point wealthy, and next, just after 11 years, so just about to start the teens, he had to see complete poverty. In 1850, he was just 12, his first marriage was arranged. And his first wife was 5-year-old daughter of Madhusudan Mitra Mahashay. In that way, according to the ancient Vedic tradition, that time, marriage was there at very young age, and there was a purpose behind that, so that the girl will not get deviated, will not get polluted by others, rather will be sticking to one person, and that affection and love is nurtured, and when they are adults, they will live together. So even though they get married, they used to still stay separate in their parents' place. So this was a Vedic system, so that both man and woman were protected from early childhood. So in the same system, Bhaktivinoda Thakur got married. And at the age of 18, Kedarnath Datta, who is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, entered Calcutta College, and he started studying Bengali and English. And he got trained in English literature by a person who was very prominent, and he became the speech writer in British Parliament. So he had such a command over English language, and under him, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who is already well skilled, got trained. In turn, Bhaktivinoda Thakur also became very proficient and skillful in English literature. So it's mentioned from 1857 till 58, just 2 years, he wrote two books. It was about the life of Porus, who met Alexander the Great. And his original plan was to write 12 books in English. So he wrote this two-volume book in English. So you can imagine, he was very young. He was born in 1838. Now he's just 57, 58. How many years? Just 20 years. He was just 20 years. He already wrote a two-volume book in English. Then he got acquainted with Christian theology and other Vedic tradition, and also Mayavad Advaita Vedanta of Shankaracharya. As he went through all this religious or so-called religious literature, he was very much attracted by Christian theology, because he could see devotion, and when he read Advaita Vedanta, he felt distaste. So he liked Christian theology over Shankaracharya's Advaita Vedanta, because it was not very theistic. It was rejecting the personality of Godhead. Then 1858, when he went to his native village in Birnagar, he found that the whole village was ruined and deserted because of an epidemic, cholera. So many of his relatives were all already dead, and he was only left with his mother and paternal grandmother. Can you see? So he had to again see, he had to again witness so much of calamities in his life, despite his aristocratic birth. So now he's just 20 years old. He has already seen both ups and downs of life. He's already a scholar. He already searched for this kind of philosophical and religious literature. And then he becomes very serious in finding greatest literatures of that time and of the world. He read through Ramayana, Mahabharata, different Puranas. He got the original Bengali manuscripts for many literature and Sanskrit manuscripts. He read them through, and he was scrutinizingly studying just like Maharaj Parikshit. The name Parikshit means one who examines. What was he examining? Maharaj Parikshit was examining, where is Krishna? Is he Krishna? Is he Krishna? Where is Krishna? He was just constantly searching after Lord Krishna. In the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was naturally searching after the absolute truth. What is the highest philosophy that I can follow? So he was a true seeker. In this world, we find many seekers. If you see the life of many devotees, we can see they are seekers. We can see the life of Radhananda Maharaj. He said he was a seeker. The Journey Home, it's a book describing seeking. Going here, there, finding, and ultimately finding the Supreme Absolute Truth. Bhakti Charya Maharaj, we briefly spoke about his life. We saw how he was a seeker. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was a seeker. Going through one guru to the next, finding where is that ultimate truth. So we can see the father of all is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He was very scrutinizingly going through each and every literature to understand what is the absolute truth. So that's why he took a long time to get to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was a long wait for him to get an authorized, authentic edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And that made a difference to his life. We'll come to that in a few minutes. Before that, okay, he's now grown up. He's already a scholar, well educated. He had his college education. Then he started thinking, he's a married man, he's a grihastha, so what kind of work can I accept to earn a livelihood? He understood that he wants to uphold the principle of honesty. So he understood, I can never be a business person. Because business inherently involves some lying. Then he thought, I can be a teacher, because that is a very honest profession. Of course, we can see Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a Brahmana by all qualities. So he chose a profession according to his nature as a teacher. So he started teaching in schools, and at one point in 1860, his first son was born, Ananda Prasad, and later he became Achyudananda. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur's other sons were also great devotees. And after that, his first wife died. So he married again, the wife's name was Bhagavati Devi Dasi. Bhagavati Devi was the second wife of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and who begot Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Now, there is a change to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life. He becomes the deputy magistrate in Dinapur in 1868. Again, see the timeline. He was born in 38, now it's 68. So, by the age of 30, he actually became a deputy magistrate in Dinapur. So, he is going high in his career under British Raj. But this time, there is something very profound happened to his life. That was, he got his first edition of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the bona fide copy of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said, when he started reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, first time when he read, he understood there is no pandit, there is no scholar as great as Lord Chaitanya. So that was his first realization after reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. But after that, he had a doubt. The doubt was, Lord Chaitanya, he is such a great personality, but how can he worship Lord Krishna, whose character is questionable? Now, please try to understand the environment of that time. So among the intellectuals, the Britishers and the so-called intellectuals of India were able to create such an impression about Lord Krishna that he is simply a sense enjoyer, just like an ordinary person. So that's why he had this doubt. Of course, it is a leela, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an eternally perfected personality, Nitya Siddha, but he is performing the leela of going through different stages of bhakti or different stages of philosophy or different kinds of philosophy and ultimately coming to the absolute truth to set an example. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he with great humility pleaded to the Supreme Lord that kindly help me to understand the truth of this matter. Then he writes, it was a matter of few days. The Lord revealed the truth. All his misconceptions and doubts were erased from his heart. So he developed absolute faith in Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. He mentions, in a matter of few days, I experienced anuraga. Can you understand? Anuraga, it's a very high stage of bhakti. We had to go through sadhana probably for decades to come to nishtha and then to come to some ruchi and then come to asakti. This is anuraga. Anuraga means pure love for the Lord. And he writes, it was very, very wonderful. So this is a quick change. It's just jumping. One time he's getting the book and in a few days he's experiencing anuraga, love for Krishna. So this is not from this lifetime. He's an eternal associate of the Lord. That's why such a transformation takes place in a very few days. So he felt so much of ecstasy for the Supreme Lord and ecstasy for Lord Chaitanya. So in the same year, that is 1868, the same year he wrote a book in glorification of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Bengali. It was a Bengali poem. It was titled Sachidananda Prema Alankar. Sachidananda Prema Alankar. So this is Prema. He's already experiencing Prema. He's already experiencing love of Godhead. So he wrote such an amazing composition. And in brief, we know that that time there were a lot of tension between this Brahma Samaj, Arya Samaj and the Hindus and other Vaishnavas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur very strongly wrote against this Mayavadi understanding of Vedas. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the same year, 1969, just a year later, he wrote the book, The Bhagavat, Its Philosophy, The Ethics and Its Theology. Can you see, in such a short span, he's writing profoundly and some amazing literature. Bhagavatam, think about this, Bhagavat, Its Philosophy, Ethics and Theology. So covering various aspects of Bhagavatam. Philosophy, theology and ethics, all three are different and he's presenting them in such a short span. And he pointed out glaring defects of Rajaram Mohan Roy's neglect of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he presented this philosophy in various forums. And great personalities, the intelligentsia of that time, used to listen from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So he could approach the elite classes and he could preach to them. Then, of course, I'll briefly tell exposition of pseudo-incarnations. That was in 1873. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was just 35 years old. See, he exposed one incarnation. You know the pastime. I will not get into the detail. Bishakhi Sen, who claimed to be an incarnation of Vishnu, and he used to perform Rasalila in night in the forest area. In other words, he used to exploit married women who were his disciples. So he used to exploit them, he used to enjoy them. So it was a complete misbehavior from Vishakhisena, who claimed to be Vishnu and he used to abuse women. So this was going on. So many people in the society was very upset with the behavior of Vishakhisena, and also he challenged the British rule. He said, I am Vishnu and my two assistants, one is Lord Shiva and one is Brahma. We will kick out this British Raj and we will establish Hindu kingdom. So when Britishers heard this, they were very furious and they wanted to handle Vishakhisena. So on one side, there were social uproar because of his immoral activities. And second, he was apparently a kind of threat to British Raj. So they appointed Bhaktivinoda Thakur to look into the matter and punish Vishakhisena. So there is this pastime where Bhaktivinoda Thakur goes and approach Vishakhisena, and there is a conversation between Vishakhisena and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastises Vishakhisena, saying that you should stop all these activities and surrender unto the Lord. He asks, why are you staying in this forest if you are Lord Jagannath himself? Lord always stays in palace. Why are you staying in this forest, hidden from everyone else? Vishakhisena, he had mystic power. He said, you are a good devotee. You have devotion in the Lord and you are my devotee. In that way, Vishakhisena was saying, Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't agree. He didn't fall for that. And Vishakhisena said, I will kick out the British Raj and I will establish Hindu kingdom and I'll make you the governor of the whole kingdom. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't fall for that. He said, I'm going to arrest you. So he had Muslim soldiers. So he got Vishakhisena arrested. And then Vishakhisena, first he tried to throw fire from his mouth and his jata. Fire was coming from his body. So initially they couldn't arrest, but after some time they could arrest him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not taken aback from this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, whatever it is, we are going to arrest you and take you. Then Vishakhisena, he said, since you are my nice devotee and the Lord is Bhakta Valsala, so I am Bhakta Valsala, so I will listen to you. So I will come with you. So that was the trick of Vishakhisena. And in a bullock cart, there was an overnight journey from this particular place to Jagannath Puri. So he was arrested and taken, followed by many soldiers. On the way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur preached to Vishakhisena. He said, you give up this wrong mentality and you surrender unto the Lord. You are not the Supreme Lord. Please accept the fact. But he was not listening. Finally, there was a court trial. And as the court trial was going on, he threw some magic spell on Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he warned Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if you don't stop the trial, there is a really bad thing going to happen to your family. And as Bhaktivinoda Thakur went home, his daughter developed a severe disease, severe fever, and she became unconscious and she was about to pass away. That time, Bhagavati Devi Dasi told Bhaktivinoda Thakur, please stop this trial, leave this person away, set him free. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, no, because he is an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord, so I will not leave him even though my whole family and myself die. So then he went to the court. As he was going to the court and as he was in the court, he developed severe chest pain. Still, Bhaktivinoda Thakur continued with his service to punish him. And as he was passing the judgment, one British person, he understood about the yogis. He said, these yogis carry their power in their matted hair, in their jatha. So he said, he took a big scissors and cut his jatha. As his jatha was cut, he fell with no energy. All his powers went away. And then they carried him to the jail. And eventually, this incarnation committed suicide. Later, there was another pseudo Balaram appeared. He was also arrested. In that way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur did a clearing job of all this false incarnation so that no one will unnecessarily try to be false incarnation and exploit the masses. So if there are incarnations, there are mentioned in the scriptures. When Bhaktivinoda Thakur was in Jagannath Puri, one Babaji, he had an offensive feeling toward Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was not wearing kantimala at that time. So he thought Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just an ordinary person. He is just a sense enjoyer. And he used to do Bhagavad Katha in Jagannath Vallabha Garden, where Mahaprabhu had his dealings with Ramananda Roy. So this Baba didn't go and associate with Bhaktivinoda Thakur, thinking he is just a vishayi, just a sense enjoyer. Then this Babaji was afflicted by some serious terminal disease. And he was worried, what's happening to me? And Jagannath himself came to his dream. And he told that you have committed a great Vaishnava, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He's a Nitya Siddha. So you go and ask for forgiveness. And in that way, next day, this Babaji approached Bhaktivinoda Thakur and offered his respects and asked for forgiveness. And then he was relieved from this great disease. And Puri, there was another very important thing happened. That was the birth of his illustrious son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in 1874. So his name was Bimal Prasad. We know Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted a son who can carry forward this movement which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has started. And for that, he wanted an amsha, a ray of the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So he prayed to Lord Jagannath and he prayed to his consort Bimala Devi. And as a result, Bimal Prasad was born, who later became Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. We know he appeared with all great auspicious qualities. And we know when he was born, Rathkat came in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's house. You can go to Grand Road in Jagannath Puri. You can still go to that Gaudiamat. That is the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was born. And Jagannath cart was not moving. And then eventually they brought Bhakti Siddhanta and they showed Bhakti Siddhanta in front of Lord Jagannath. Immediately the garland fell from Lord Jagannath, covering Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then the cart started moving. So all this pastime took place in Jagannath Puri. And another interesting pastime took place where the king of Puri, he went to Jagannath Puri temple and there is the Mukti Mandap where Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his associates were doing Bhagavad Katha. So this king didn't pay respect to Bhaktivinoda Thakur or the assembled Vaishnavas or Srimad Bhagavatam. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur chastised the king. The king wasn't very happy, but he's chastised. And on top of that, there was a royal conspiracy took place. The king of Puri, he misappropriated around 80,000 rupees in 1874. Even now, think about 80,000 is a big amount. You know, currently, maybe it's a good salary for many Indians. 80,000 rupees, a good salary. Think about in 1874, 80,000 rupees. You can consider millions of dollars. He misappropriated from Lord Jagannath's treasury. So, Britishers wanted to look into the matter and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as a magistrate, he found fault with the king. And he gave a punishment to the king that he had to offer Lord Jagannath Naivedya, cooked food, 52 times in a very opulent fashion. So that whatever money he has misappropriated, it can be used in Lord Jagannath's service. In addition, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was the one who established the proper worship of Lord Jagannath in Puri, he has such an affection for the Supreme Lord. Then what happened? This king, he became completely envious and furious against Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he caught tantric people and started performing a yajna to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it was lasting for about 30 days or so. 30 days yajna. And at the end of the yajna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur will be dead. This was the promise given by the tantrics. So day after day, they did this yajna to kill Bhaktivinoda Thakur, think about the envy of this king. On the 30th day, when they pour the final oblation into the sacrificial fire, instead of Bhaktivinoda Thakur dying, king's son died. This is the power of pure devotee. They didn't do anything. Krishna protects. Pure devotee is just like Ambarish Maharaj. Durvasamuni created this rakshasa to kill Ambarish Maharaj. But what happened? Couldn't do anything to Ambarish Maharaj. Right? Nothing happened to Ambarish Maharaj because Sudarshan Chakra is there. And Sudarshan Chakra started chasing Durvasamuni. Similarly, if one creates such kind of yagya to kill someone or punish someone, or if someone sends some bhuta or preta or pishacha or rakshasa, then what happens? If they cannot accomplish the task, they will come back and kill whoever sent such personalities. That is the power. So, same thing happened. So, the curse fell on his own family and his son got killed by this whatever curse. And now I will speak about very important aspect or the important contributions of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. The most important, I would say, is his writings, which are still present, and he wrote about 100 books. I'll name a few. Chaitanya Shikshamrita, Krishna Samhita, Jaiva Dharma, Tattva Sutra, Tattva Viveka, Harinama Chintamani, Sajjana Toshini, etc. He wrote about 100 books. Now, if you consider the value of this book, these books, even a person, if they spend a lifetime, they cannot write one or two of such kind of books. He wrote about 100 books. And I'll speak about a few books, a little bit in detail, not much. One, Navadvip Mandal, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. That is our guide if you are going to Mayapur Vrindavan. A book we should read is Navadvip Mandal Mahatmya. Navadvip Mahatmya. Very amazing book, Navadvip Dham Mahatmya, giving us the glories of Navadvip. Now, these books were not copied from somewhere. He didn't just take from different scriptures and compile together. But this Navadvip Mandal Mahatmya, just like any other book, it was revealed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had the vision of the Navadvip, and he could witness different personalities who are residing there, and they were revealing the glories of this Navadvip Mandal, and he was simply writing them. So many personalities who were there in the past times of Lord Chaitanya, some people who were there in Mahabharata, they all revealed the truths and glories of Navadvip Mandal to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and he compiled in that way as Navadvip Dham Mahatmya. Similarly, Harinam Chintamani, it's an amazing book explaining to us the glories of the holy name and how to take to the process of chanting. What are the offenses and how can we rectify offenses against the holy name? So this book was revealed, or this knowledge was revealed to Bhaktivinoda Thakur by Haridas Thakur, because it is a conversation between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. So by the mercy of Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood this and he wrote Harinam Chintamani. In other words, teachings of Lord Chaitanya were presented at the time of Goswamis, but now Bhaktivinoda Thakur is again presenting those knowledge for our benefit. Another associate, very intimate associate of Mahaprabhu, approached Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He is none other than Swarup Damodar Goswami. And he asked Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you write a book about Srimad Bhagavatam according to the three principles, three tattvas, Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. He had such a grasp about Srimad Bhagavatam that, okay, you write a book about Srimad Bhagavatam based on Sambandha, Abhideya and Prayojana. And that's how he wrote this great work, Srimad Bhagavatarka Marichimala. Bhagavatarka, Arka means sun. Bhagavatam is like a sun. So Bhagavatarka Marichimala. So this is an important book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, revealing the main points from Srimad Bhagavatam according to Sambandha, Abhideya and prayojana. You know, sambandha is our relation to Krishna, abhidaya is the process, bhakti, and prayojana, the ultimate aspect, which is love of Godhead. So in this way, great personalities revealed truths about bhakti to Bhaktivinoda Thakur to disseminate to this entire world. And another point I will mention about Krishna Samhita, how Krishna Samhita he wrote. Bhaktivinoda Thakur mentions that I really like to write a swan-like commentary on entire Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, because a Hamsa can taste milk if you give a mixture of milk and water. The Hamsa or a swan can separate. In the same way, Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted to write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. But he said, because of the entire voluminous nature of this book, I don't have time to write the entire commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. So now I am writing Krishna Samhita, presenting the main aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam. So he had assimilated entire Srimad Bhagavatam and then he was presenting. This is Acharya, who has digested, realized, and now presenting. Another pastime I will mention before wrapping it up, that is discovering the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is also a very important pastime or important contribution of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Because no one knew the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. As I taught earlier, Ganges had already changed its course, and for hundreds of years, whole Mayapur was inside the water. So no one knew about the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and some unscrupulous people used to claim that birthplace of Chaitanya was in current Navadvip. And they wanted to create a temple and they wanted to collect money. So there was always ulterior motives for presenting the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, just financial gain. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he spent a lot of time and effort to discover the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So he stayed there, he examined old maps. All this thing happened under the direction of Lord himself. Because one time he wanted to really go to Vrindavan and retire. He had enough of everything. So Lord Chaitanya came to his dream and told him, you go to Navadvip and discover my birthplace. To fulfill that order, he came to Navadvip, he resided there, and he started examining old maps and finding out which is his birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. So one day he had a vision. He understood what is the location. Initially, he had some idea, because people used to call that place as Miyapur, not as Mayapur. Miya is a Muslim word. It is an Arabic kind of word, Miya. I don't know the exact meaning of Miya. Miyapur. So instead of Miyapur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood in the scriptures there is no mention about Miyapur, but there is mention about Mayapur. As we know in this Chaitanya Upanishad, Bhaktivinoda Thakur named this Upanishad Chaitanya Upanishad. It's a part of Atharva Veda, where it's mentioned Mayapure Navadvipe, mentioned Mayapure in Mayapur, in Navadvip, Lord Chaitanya appeared. His mother's name is Sachi. Like, he will propagate the chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Such descriptions are there, but all these descriptions were covered by the illusory energy. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur could actually see and identify. So he understood these Muslims, they have changed the name from Mayapur to Miyapur. And then he found all the maps and he found the location almost. And then he had this vision when he was in his house, because he saw that far away, other side of Ganges, there was this special light, a divine light appearing. So, along with him, there was Bhakti Siddhanta Saritakur. He asked, can you see this light? So Bhakti Siddhanta Saritakur said, yes, I can see that. Then he asked someone else who was not such a great devotee, can you see that light? So he said, no. Then he understood this is a spiritual light. It's a divine light. So he understood, okay, our Lord Chaitanya's birthplace must be that direction. Then he went there, he found that there is a region, all the farmers told, whatever we try to grow there, nothing is growing. This area is filled with tulsi plants. And we can't do anything. It's just Tulsi garden and we can't do anything. We can't grow anything in this region. Then Bhaktivinoda Thakur understood, okay, this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. Finally, so with maps, with scriptures, he understood. He had his divine vision and finally to confirm. Like Guru Sadhu Shastra. Finally, he took his guru, instructing guru, Shiksha Guru. His Diksha Guru was Vibin Vihari. But his actual guru in terms of Shiksha was Jagannadas Babaji. So he requested Jagannadas Babaji, please come to this place and check whether this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya or not. At that time, Jagannadas Babaji was over 100 years old and he was hunched. He couldn't walk and he was carried in a basket. So they carried him in a basket and when they reached this particular spot, he jumped, leaped from the basket and he came down, he grounded and he started jumping up and started dancing. He started saying, he started crying, Eto Nimai Janmabhumi. This is Nimai's Janmabhumi. Eto Nimai Janmabhumi. He started crying, Eto Nimai Janmabhumi, because he was in bliss. He was completely in transcendental ecstasy. So the material inebrieties were not affecting him. He started chanting and dancing. Then it was concluded that this is the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya, and eventually he becomes instrumental in constructing that temple for Lord Chaitanya. And finally, he, after retirement, he established the deities of Lord Chaitanya in the birthplace. How he does that? He goes begging house to house, and he was only collecting 1 rupee from everyone so that maximum number of people can be engaged in this most noblest act. So for that he collected money from many people personally, even the magistrate, an eminent great personality. He begged door to door to construct the temple. In that way he engaged as many people as possible to establish the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya. I'll just briefly read his routine, even though we have heard many times, it's always inspiring. His routine is 8 p.m. till 10 p.m., rest for 2 hours. 8 p.m. till 10 p.m. 10 p.m. till 4 a.m., writing books. That's how he wrote 100 books. 10 p.m. till 4 a.m., exactly the time we sleep, at least 6 hours. Those 6 hours he was writing. Ya nisha sarvabhutanam. Is that the one? Yeah, nisha sarvabhutanam. Like that. What is the night for the materialist is the day for the transcendentalist. It was exactly like this. And after that, 4 a.m. till 4:30, rest. So count how many hours he has taken rest, 2.5 hours so far, right? Then 4:30 a.m. till 7 a.m. chanting, 2.5 hours of chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. 7 a.m. till 7:30 a.m. corresponding, correspondence letters. 7:30 a.m. till 10 a.m. bath prasadam. So half an hour taking bath and prasadam. 1/2 liter of milk, fruits and 2 chapatis. That's it. 1/2 liter of milk, 2 chapatis and some fruits. And 10 a.m. till 1 p.m. court duties. 3 hours of court duties. He was so efficient in court duties. Other judges would take about 2-3 hours to pass a judgment. He would take about 5 to 10 minutes, including writing. That efficient he was. So he was the best among all judges. And Britishers used to like him. And 1 p.m. till 2 p.m. refresh at home. So that's why there is a train line was run between, you know, Krishnanagar and Navadvip. Still you can see a meter gauge train. So 3 hours court duties, 1 hour at home, refreshing at home, and 2 p.m. till 5 p.m. court duties. So it was not an easy job. See, understand? 6 hours he was working. So for how long he slept? 2.5 hours. 6 hours he wrote books, 2.5 hours chanting, 1/2 hour correspondence, and 6 hours of court duties. And I forgot to tell that 7:30 a.m. till 9:30 a.m. what he used to do? I forgot to tell that 7:30 a.m. till 9, 2 hours of Shastra study. reading Bhagavatam and other Shastra. And after that, 5 p.m. till 7 p.m., translate Sanskrit Shastra to Bengali. 2 hours translation work. And 7 to 8 p.m., bath and prasadam. Half liter milk, rice and 2 chapatis. So this was his routine. So this is, you can understand, this is not ordinary. So about 2.5 hours of sleep, 8.5 hours of writing, japa and study 4.5 hours, and work 6 hours. So that's why Bhaktivinoda Thakur is known as Grihastha Acharya. He exemplified a perfect Grihastha devotee. And 1896, he sent this book, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, His Life and Precepts, to McGill University in Canada. Later, Srila Prabhupada's disciples found this book in McGill University. Because 1896, Bhaktivinoda Thakur had the strongest desire to preach Krishna consciousness throughout the world. And what happened in this year? Srila Prabhupada was born. So that's why he has the special blessings. Srila Prabhupada has the special blessings of Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur made few predictions. With that we'll conclude. He made 3 predictions. First prediction, soon a personality will appear and he will travel all over the world to spread the teachings of Lord Chaitanya. So that is the first prediction. Second prediction, very soon the chanting of Harinama Sankirtan will be spread all over the world. And he wrote, when will that day come when people from America, England, France, Germany, Russia will take up kartals and mridanga and chant Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in their own towns? See, now that time has come, isn't it? And he is specifically telling America, starting from America, England, France, Germany, Russia. See? It's true. It's a reality. When the garland falls, it's actually showing it's a reality. It's a confirmation. If you pray intensely to the Lord, actually, you know, sometimes the mala actually falls, the garland falls, something will drop. It shows the Lord actually hearing. It happened to Krishna Kaviraj Goswami. We know in front of Madan Mohan temple. He was intensely praying in the mind and immediately the garland fell. Similarly, we can see the same thing happening here. And third prediction, when will that day come when the fair-skinned foreigners will come to Sri Mayapur Dham and along with Bengali Vaishnavas, they will chant Jai Sachinandana, Jai Sachinandana, when that day will come. So that was the third prediction, saying that that is also going to happen. And all these predictions came true. And Srila Prabhupada is the special recipient of that mercy. And finally, Bhaktivinoda Thakur retires in Jagannath Puri. If you go to Jagannath Puri, you can go to his bhajan kutir and his place where he actually performed bhajan. And that's where the ISKCON temple is situated. Even the small center, that is actually the bhajan kutir of Jagannath Das Babaji. And then he enters into the eternal pastime. So it is mentioned that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamala Manjari in Krishna's pastime. So that is his eternal Swarupa, his position. So with this I conclude. And see, is there any final one question or comment? Then we will wrap it up. We have Pushpanjali, so we will come together. Pushpanjali is just before 12:30, so it's good if we come after 12 o'clock, then we can be here, maybe some singing, chanting, and then we'll do Pushpanjali. And it's a very important day that we should pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for everything. What I mean by everything? See Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, he was an exemplary sadhaka. He was an exemplary preacher. And his character was most pristine, pure character. So, sadhana, seva, sadachar, if you see all these 3 aspects, Bhaktivinoda Thakur perfected. He just showed what is it to be, what is meant to be, what is the epitome of that. So we can pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for all these, because we are struggling in all these areas. We have difficulty in our chanting. Many of us can't even listen all 16 rounds Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We can't listen all the mantras. Understand our condition. We talk about prema, bhava, okay, nishtha. But before that, we can't hear all 16 rounds. So we need Bhaktivinoda Thakur's mercy. And reading, it's a struggle. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you know, he just like a sponge, he absorbed everything. He digested and he realized and he just gave to everyone in different forms. We have difficulty understanding even books. And there is no taste to read the books. So we need to pray. Then in terms of preaching, his preaching was so powerful, he could cover the elitist class of the society. And his books and his teachings are still preaching. So and his behavior, he never lied. He never lied in his life. And he wanted the noblest profession as a teacher, as a Brahmana occupation. Character, profound character. So we can pray to Bhaktivinoda Thakur for all our shortcomings to cover by his mercy. So with this, I stop here. You have a question? Okay, one question and I'll stop here.
Thank you for the nice class, Prabhu. For me, it appears that in Gaudiya Math, there's much more emphasis on the writings of, for example, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. But for us, the main focus is Srila Prabhupada's books. So why is it like that?
I think the answer is obvious. In Gaudiya Math, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's and Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's works are given prominence because they don't have Srila Prabhupada. They don't have Srila Prabhupada. That is the reason. I will explain further because it's a very important point to understand. One devotee asked, or he made a point to Srila Prabhupada, his disciple, that of all the writers, I like Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing the most. Srila Prabhupada said, no, he can be your second best author. First best author for you is myself. Why? Because he is able to, we can understand Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writing only if we understand Srila Prabhupada's writings. There is no doubt about it. Please don't try to jump over our acharyas. We have to, our primary Shiksha Guru for all in ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada. There is no doubt. Primary Shiksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada. In terms of writings, not even our spiritual masters. Our primary Shiksha Guru in terms of books, whose books is Srila Prabhupada's books. So our primary Shiksha Guru is Srila Prabhupada. So given that, we don't have any access to any other further rungs of our parampara, further acharyas without Srila Prabhupada. And it's a reality. It's not an understatement. It's not an exaggeration. We will not be able to understand the philosophy of Bhaktivinoda Thakur or Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur without understanding Srila Prabhupada's books. That's why our primary focus has to be Srila Prabhupada's books. Please understand, study, make notes, assimilate, apply, realize and see how Srila Prabhupada is presenting various points. Of course, he quotes from previous acharyas, but when Srila Prabhupada presents this, it is for the modern degraded Kali Yuga. Even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not presenting for this current degraded age. The current situation. Even he is not presenting for such contaminated consciousness. Srila Prabhupada is presenting for us. So if we have humility in accepting our degraded condition, then we will approach Srila Prabhupada. And through that, we have the access to the entire parampara. Does that answer the question? Okay. Thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Mahashay ki, Bhaktivinoda Thakur Appearance Day Mahamahotsav ki, Jayantai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bo.